Another thing that comes to mind is, and this might be very unpopular, but I love winter. I know, and this is probably the wrong thing to say in sort of a suburb that's near the beach, but I love winter. I do like summer, but I just love the coziness and the fireplace and the mountains and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, passionate about our dog and winter.
Well, heard a little bit more. I did find another thing, though, about you when I was Googling, that apparently you're quite passionate about tea. In fact, you were described as a tea snob.
Yes.
So I will like to say that if I'm hoping you and everyone else will be able to stay on after church, but you might want to bring your own teapot and your own special blend of leaves, otherwise it's a tea bag from us.
I'm sure it's fine.
So if you might have a chance yourselves to catch up later on with Karina after the service and swap dog or tea stories.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're very happy to have you here. It's a great privilege you've been here. I know that Madeleine and I think who else? A few other people went to something with you and found that a really great experience. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you so much, Louise.
Mimi is now going to bring our Bible reading. It's Colossians 1, 15 to 23, so if you've got a device, whip it out. If you want a hard copy Bible, there's a pile up the back there. Just click your fingers and John will bring one to you. But Colossians 1, 15 to 23, and it's on the on the screen there. And I'm getting a message, switch the mic to input. Do I need to do that? No, it's all good.
Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. We're reading from the New International Version. The supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were all alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body to death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that have been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, become a servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. It is so wonderful to be here. I'm only in Surrey Hills, so it was really easy to come here this morning. Sometimes I have to travel far, so it was lovely to sort of be in the neighbourhood and to speak in the context of the neighbourhood. I love that. In December 2021, I became a member of the Cloud Appreciation Society. Yes, a Cloud Appreciation Society exists. If you become a member of this society, you receive a certificate that reads, "We do hereby certify that Karina Kraminski joined this society on December the 1st, 2021, and will henceforth seek to persuade all who listen of the wonder and beauty of clouds." The Cloud Appreciation Society has a goal to unite cloud lovers all over the world. On 1st of December 2021, I made a pledge. I pledge to always have my head in the clouds. I pledge to convince others about the importance of looking up. I pledge to spend lots of time in 2022 staring at the sky, seeking to practice the disciplines of awe and wonder every day. And I pledge to get lost in my thoughts regularly. If you look it up online, you can join too. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to say that I became a member of the Cloud Appreciation Society because we had just been through 2 years of COVID, and I was craving wonder, enchantment, and beauty in my life. And I think most people were. Journalist Julia Baird's book, Phosphorescence, was a bestseller at the time. Phosphorescence means luminous or giving off light, and it was a book all about wonder, finding wonder and awe in the ordinary things of life. People were craving wonder and beauty in the midst of this pandemic that had shut everything down. Philosopher Charles Taylor, in one of the most important books recently written called A Secular Age, famously stated that we live in a disenchanted society, a society that finds it difficult to connect with awe and wonder and beauty and magic and enchantment, a society that's set against that and especially against faith. What's interesting though, and I don't know if you've found this as well, is that I find that so many people are very, very interested in beauty and wonder and awe and finding that in everyday life. I think many people today are craving to find something in life that will make them come alive again in a world that can sometimes feel a bit hopeless and flat. A while ago, I read a book called Enchantment, written by a woman called Catherine May. Catherine May does not identify as a Christian. The book has been really popular, and she writes about her struggle to find that magical something in life, especially during the pandemic. And she writes this in the book: "This life I have made is too small. It doesn't allow enough in, enough ideas, enough beliefs around encounters with the exuberant magic of existence. I've been so keen to deny it, to veer deliberately towards the rational and to cling solely to the experiences that are directly observable by others. And only now, when everything is taken away, can I see what folly this is. I don't want that life anymore. I want what the ancients had, to be able to talk to God. Not in a personal sense, to a distant figure who is unfathomably wise, but to have a direct encounter with the flow of things, a communication without words." Can you hear a longing there? Many people in our community are searching for God. They are looking for that magic, enchantment, wonder, beauty, awe, spirituality, and even faith. When we look outside the four walls of the church and we do some deep listening to our community, and deep listening sounds like an easy thing to do, but it isn't, I don't think. When we do deep listening to our community, we can hear people's longings for something more. The reading that we heard today from Colossians tells us that we live in a something more universe. We live in an enchanted universe. This beautiful hymn in Colossians about the universality of Christ, instead of starting with the importance of the church, it starts with the grandeur of creation. And it says repeatedly over and over again that Christ is to be found there. His imprint is over all of creation. That phrase, all things, is repeated over and over again. All things were created through Christ. All things were created in Christ. All things hold together in Christ. All things. We live in an enchanted universe because Christ's presence is to be found everywhere. There is no secular and sacred. Everything is sacred because Christ is everywhere. The beauty of Christ can be found outside the four walls of the church. And only after that proclamation of the universal does the author of this this letter tell us that also Christ is the head of the church. But we start with the universal. We start beyond the church, and we're shown in this passage an enchanted universe luminous with the presence of Christ. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest, writes this: before the human incarnation of God in Jesus, there was the first and original incarnation through light, water, land, sun, moon, stars, plants, trees, fruit, birds, serpents, cattle, fish, every kind of wild beast, according to Genesis. The Franciscan theologian, St. Bonaventure, building on Jesus' incarnation and St. Francis' love of all creation, saw the traces or footprints of God in everything. The whole world is the incarnation of the God mystery, and indeed the very body of God, as it says in Romans 8, 19 to 23. Jesus is the microcosm of the macrocosm. And then in this passage, it says in verse 27, that God has chosen to reveal this mystery to all. What is this mystery? This mystery is Christ in you and in me. So we are luminous with Christ's glory in us within a luminous universe saturated with the presence of Christ. We are luminous beings in a luminous universe. How profound is that mystery? And I think this is what many people in our community are longing for. Enchantment, wonder, beauty, awe, spirituality, and faith. Could this actually be a longing for God? And could our role as the church simply be to be the luminous ones who point to the luminous mystery around us and say to those in our community, there is God? Perhaps that's the role of the church, the people of God, to act as signposts and facilitators of the Spirit of God that is at work in a luminous universe. We work with God, which is different to working for God. We work with God as agents and reconcilers of a universe that needs mending in a world that aches for something more than this. So what's our role in this? Our role is to listen deeply, to listen to the longings and hopes of this community around the church. This church is one part of the ecology of this neighborhood of Bondi Junction and beyond. And it's given the role of listening to the voices of the people within this community because the church exists not for itself, but for the sake of the world. We want to be good listeners and a faithful presence in this neighborhood of Bondi Junction and beyond, listening to the community and working as reconcilers of a world that needs mending. And you, church in the marketplace, start with this little patch here in Bondi Junction. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the church is called to be a yes to God's earth as a part of its faithfulness. And he highlighted the this worldliness of Christianity. So we are called for the sake of this world to participate in that mission of God. We are all, not some of us, we are all sent into our local context to illuminate Christ. So we exist for the world in partnership, in solidarity with the world. I love what theologian Amy Plantinga Powell says. She says that it's exactly when the world feels to us least like home that the church is to embrace it and remain in solidarity with it. We are never called to extricate ourselves from the world, but to find Christ in the midst of the rhythms of beauty and terror in the world. And I'm sure you particularly have found that over the last couple of weeks. And that's not an easy thing to do. So when we say that our role is to listen to this community in the suburb of Bondi Junction and beyond, I think this is more like an art than a five-step program. We live in a context where people are skeptical about the church, and church attendance is in decline. When we invite people to church, more often than not, they will politely say, "No, thank you." The church in our society is not at the center anymore. It is at the margins. But this might not be such a bad thing, because we resonate with a God who is at the margins. Plantinga says that Christian existence is eccentric, which actually means off-center. Because we don't find our meaning and existence in ourselves or even in the church or in any other creaturely thing. We find our existence and our home in God alone. And God is everywhere. So together we can ask, where is God in this neighborhood? And once we start asking that, things actually can get quite radical. Radical in the sense that the church is getting back to its roots, the meaning of the church, that we are a servant of God, discerning with God for the sake of this world. What does this listening look like? Where do we hear the voice of God in this luminous universe? Where do you discern Christ in luminous Bondi Junction and beyond? In Surrey Hills, where my husband and I serve, we try to do a lot of listening to our broader community. We hear the voice of God when a transgender friend of ours says to us, "I think Jesus might be someone who would hang out with the likes of me." We hear the voice of God when another neighbor, an atheist, says, "I don't want to live forever. I don't want an eternal home. I think I want to go back to the ground where I came from." We hear the voice of God in another person who says to us, "I think religion maybe can ground my spirituality." I hear the voice of God in a friend, a neighbor, who says, "I don't want God as my best friend. I want to encounter mystery." So much to think about there, right? When we're doing some deep listening. Can you hear God in those voices? If we approach our community with a posture of curiosity rather than judgment, we can hear God, and then we can begin to point them to the luminous Christ when appropriate. We hear God in the activity of our local neighborhood center in Surrey Hills that works to build community and resilience and inclusivity in our suburb. We hear God through our local council that tries to reach out to those who are in need through food security in Surrey Hills and beyond. And there are other organizations that we partner with as well, who are working for the good of the place where we live. Can we discern God in those spaces and connect, work in solidarity with those people and those organizations? And then what does it look like to point them to the presence of Christ? What does it look like to have deep conversations with them about faith and let them know about the community of God's people, the church? I'm imagining that you were doing that a few weeks ago and during these last couple of weeks, during the terrible events that happened here back then in Westfields. What an opportunity for this church to bring comfort to a frightened and grieving community. We need to tread carefully and gently these days in a world here in Sydney that is quite skeptical about the church. We need to be humble in this work with God. Humble in the root meaning of the word, hummus. Humble, hummus means being close to the ground, being rooted to the ground. Instead of a hyper-spirituality, the church must be known for its humanity, its on-the-ground work, in solidarity with the world, deeply listening to the murmurs of Christ in this local context. The church can be close to the ground, this worldly, as Bonhoeffer said. Instead of judgment, we walk in curiosity with the people in our neighbourhood. And if we see the church in this way, it doesn't make the church's identity and task any lesser. We are the sent ones, each of us sent into our world to participate with God for the reconciliation and flourishing of our world in Christ Jesus. That's the true missional church. The mission is huge. And we get to participate in this, God's mission, with curiosity and joy and deep listening and humility and love and courage. It's an on-the-ground work, and we leave the growth and the transformation all to God. God will do that. That's not something we control. We are workers together in God's orchard, listening to the community, our ears to the ground, slowly working with God, in line with God's rhythms, and trusting in God's presence in this place. Outside the four walls of the church, trusting that God is the one who draws all people towards the God self and into relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. We are facilitators of God's Spirit. We create space for God to work in people's lives. We are signposts that point to this enchanted universe and to this enchanted suburb. I want to offer this prayer for you and for me as I finish this reflection from the writer of Colossians. And this comes from Colossians 1, verses 9 to 12, and it's a prayer. So will you join me in prayer? Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Amen.